This is the Art of Dental Finance and Management podcast brought to you by Art Wiederman, CPA with Ide Bailey. Whether it's taxes and investing or planning wisely, Art is the expert to make your dental practice profitable. At Ide Bailey, what inspires you inspires us. We provide a suite of accounting and advisory services dedicated to the total care of your practice. Visit our website to access our tools and resources tailored for dentists, idebailey.com/dentist. That's idebailey.com/dentist. This podcast is distributed with the understanding that Art Wiederman, CPA, and Ide Bailey, LLP are not rendering legal, accounting, or other professional advice. Listeners should consult with their business advisors before acting on any of the information or opinions shared. If you have questions and or feedback, make sure to email Art over at awiederman@idebailey.com. That's A-W-I-E-D-E-R-M-A-N at E-I-D-E-B-A-I-L-L-Y.com. You can also give Art a call at 657-279-3243. Without further delay, here's your host, Dental CPA Art Wiederman.
And hello, everyone, and welcome to a very special edition of the Art of Dental Finance and Management podcast with Art Wiederman, CPA. I'm your host, Art Wiederman. Welcome to my podcast. When you hear this recording, I will have celebrated my sixth anniversary of doing this. We're approaching 210 recordings, and it has been an absolute labor of love. My goal in these podcasts has been to help all of you to meet your personal and business financial goals, and today's recording is no exception. One of the loves that I have always had in my life is financial planning and helping my dentist clients over 40 years to meet their personal and business financial goals. And my guest today, who is Justin Padalero, who is the director and wealth advisor at the Sequoia Financial Group, is just the man to help me deliver the message to you guys as far as how important this is and give you an overview of what you should be doing at year end. We just had Mel Schwarz on. We talked about tax strategy and tax planning. And in a second, I'm going to share with you a webinar that we're going to talk more about tax planning. If you weren't excited enough about taxes, we're going to give you some more information about what to look for on December 9th. But we'll get to Justin in a second. We are now in year-end tax planning season. In fact, it's we're recording here at the end of November. And yesterday, I had the perfect day. How many of you have had a perfect day? You might be thinking, being a listener of my podcast, that it was on a golf course. It actually was not. So my perfect day started with my dear friend and the partner in our Ide Bailey Tustin office, Don Watson. We drove up to Los Angeles and we took a tour of the new Intuit Dome, which is the home of the Los Angeles Clippers. I've been a Clippers fan for a long time. And I'll tell you what, to use words that my children used when they were growing up, that is the sickest sports arena I have ever seen in my life. I could spend the whole hour talking to you about it. It was so much fun to go see that. If you are ever in Los Angeles and you get a chance to go to a concert or a Clippers game, I would encourage you to do that. It's really cool. And then we walked about a mile over to SoFi Stadium and we watched the Cincinnati Bengals play the Los Angeles Chargers. One of our wonderful clients was kind enough to give us their seats, and it was a very exciting game that the Chargers came back and won with 18 seconds to go. So it was a perfect day for me, so I'm in a really good mood. And we're talking about financial planning, which puts me even in a better mood. So before we get to Justin, I want to share a couple things. It is year-end tax planning season. And if you have not gotten a call from your CPA, and your CPA hasn't called and said, listen, we got to get together. We got to figure out what's going on. We got a new administration coming in. You know, President-elect Trump is proposing this and that, and we've got the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. Give me a call, 657-279-3243. We can get you in at year end. All we're doing right now in the months of November and December are meeting with all of our clients And our job is to do everything that we can to increase the federal deficit. That sounds horrible, but we want to get our clients to pay as little income tax as we possibly can. You can also email me at awiederman, A-W-I-E-D-E-R-M-A-N, at idebailey.com. I will also, again, as I have reminded you for the last several podcasts, encourage you and implore you that if you are operating your dental practice or your real estate entity in an LLC or an S corporation, any of these entities, the government has required that you file what's called a BOI report. That's beneficial ownership information. And if you are looking for information of how to do this, you go on to the website FinCEN, FINCEN.gov. And that website will tell you how to file this report. It basically is asking, do you have an entity and who owns your entity? And you'll have to upload a copy of your driver's license and things like that. It's not very hard. What will be hard, folks, is if you do not file this report, the penalties are humongous. Tens of thousands of dollars if you don't file this form. So please, please do this. We do not do these forms at Ide Bailey because they are not tax forms. Some lawyers are doing them, some are not. I would call your business attorney and ask him or her for a referral, but please, please make it a priority. If you have an entity that was formed prior to January 1 of 2024, you have until December 31st, so you have a couple of weeks. If you formed an entity in 2024, you may very well already be delinquent. Now, will they give you some leeway or a mulligan if you didn't do it? We'll find out, but I would get this done. So anyway, with that said, I want to share a couple more things with you. For those of you here in Southern California, on December 9th, we are doing a webinar on tax planning for the year end. And I will be doing that in conjunction with the folks from the Harbor and Orange County Dental Societies. I'm very excited about that. Don Watson and I will be doing that webinar. If you would like to participate in that webinar, again, either call me 657-279-3243 or email me at awiederman, A-W-I-E-D-E-R-M-A-N, at idebailey.com. In addition, on February 22nd and March 1, we are doing seminars for buyers and sellers of dental practices. If you are an associate dentist and you want to buy a practice, you will learn everything and anything you wanted to know about that on February 22nd. These are free seminars. They'll be at Dave & Buster's in the city of Orange in Orange County. If you're local, we would love to see you there. Again, email me or call me, and we will have... I'll be able to direct you to a link to register. And on March 1st, we're doing the seller seminar, which will also include discussions about should you sell to a DSO. I guarantee you, doctor, you have gotten a call from a DSO. If you haven't, I'd be very surprised. The one thing I will tell you is that if you get a call from a DSO and they make you an offer, just promise me, don't sign a letter of intent until you talk to me or somebody else who can advise you. And we're going to talk all about that when we get there. My wonderful partner in crime, Decisions in Dentistry magazine, www.decisionsindentistry.com. Decisions in Dentistry has 140 incredible CE courses for an incredibly small price. And they are my marketing partner and have been Lorraine Kent and her team for 6 years. Go to www.decisionsindentistry.com.
Be sure to check out our new Ide Bailey podcast, Ebb and Flow, a business podcast providing inspired insight on issues and trends the middle market faces. Hear unique business stories, get answers to frequently asked and unasked questions, and understand business topics that matter to you. Available now on your favorite podcast platform.
And with that, I want to introduce my good friend, Justin Padalero from Sequoia Financial Group. He is our director and wealth advisor there here in California. Justin, welcome to the Art of Dental Finance and Management podcast. Hey, Art, thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for coming on. So, you know, I've been part of Ide Bailey now for about, I can't believe it, it's been almost 4.5 years. It was July of 2020. I mean, between then and now and then, a lot has happened. I've reached Medicare age. I mean, all kinds of stuff has happened. And I've worked with our wealth group at Ide Bailey for many years. You and I met earlier this year, and you and I have become inseparable because we're helping our clients with financial planning and stuff. And so I think it was on the 9th or the 8th of November, Ide Bailey Wealth merged with what I, as I'm learning about them, an absolutely phenomenal company called Sequoia Financial Group out of Akron, Ohio. So tell us a little bit on a high level about that. And then I want to get into the discussion today of talking about, you know, financial planning moves that people should make by the end of the year and what's involved, and a little more about what we're going to do on financial planning on this podcast in 2025.
Yeah, Art, happy to do so. We're talking a little bit about Sequoia Financial Group. And so Sequoia Financial Group is founded in 1991. And, you know, really, I think in terms of looking at what Sequoia Financial Group delivers there to their clients, it's very similar to what Ide Bailey Wealth at the time wanted to provide to their clients, a holistic approach in terms of wealth management. And so Sequoia Financial Group was ranked one of Barron's top RIA firms back in 2023 here. And so having an award-winning firm like Sequoia really does help enhance the deliverable for us working closely with Ide Bailey. And so, you know, in terms of accessing resources, Sequoia really does bring a greater breadth of opportunity and available resources to us as a wealth advisor to be able to deliver a well-rounded and holistic experience there for our clients.
Now, the only thing that really matters to me, Justin, is we said they're in Akron, Ohio, right?
That's right. Yeah. Okay. So they're
in Akron. So that means that the guys and ladies at Sequoia can get me a tea time at the Firestone Country Club, right?
Well, I can't make any promises there, but.
All right. This podcast is over. I'm sorry. I don't want to talk too much. No, I'm just kidding. So, but I mean, Sequoia is an awesome company. I mean, everything I've seen and read, I've talked to people in the industry, they just have an outstanding reputation. And the fact that Ide Bailey would merge their wealth group with them just goes along the lines of the quality of a firm that we are at Ide Bailey. I mean, I tell you what, I am just so excited to be here at the, my listeners know I'm closer to the end of my career than the beginning, but to be able to finish up with Ide Bailey and now to be able to work with you and Sequoia is just really, really exciting. Tell me a little bit, Justin, about your professional journey, and then I want to get into the subject matter for today.
Yeah, no. So I started my career here going back almost 20 years ago now. And I started out in wealth management working at your Merrill Lynch. And so at the time, I was building a book of business, but that Great Recession hit back in 2008, 2009. And so Bank of America taking them over. Unfortunately, my book of business wasn't large enough. And so eventually I found myself cut. But one of the things I learned working with clients at that particular time early on in my career was just the level of importance of being able to deliver a holistic approach to a client. In particular, having a good understanding with tax and estate planning strategies. So I went back to school, got my master's in accounting, and entered public accounting there for about 10 years, working on both the audit and then the tax side. And so working closely with clients and developing strategies to help minimize the tax liabilities and maximize their lifetime wealth there along the way. And, you know, in terms of doing so, you know, one of the passions I had was being able to work closely with clients, helping them meet their financial goals. And so it brought me back to wealth management here about 5 years ago. And so, you know, looking at my journey there, I feel I've positioned myself well to be able to provide that whole holistic approach there to our clients.
All right. And that's great. And you came to your senses a lot sooner than I did. I did taxes for 40 years. You did them for about 10. So that makes you smarter than I do. Smarter than I am. So before we get started with our conversation today, I do want to read the following. Investment advisory services offered by Sequoia Financial Advisors, LLC, and an SEC registered investment advisor. Registration as an investment advisor does not imply a certain level of skill or training. Let's start talking about reviewing people's financial health. It's something that my dentists don't spend as much time doing, just like the dentist would tell their friends that their patients don't spend enough time taking care of their teeth and flossing and going regularly and doing all the right things. So let's start off with financial goals. When you first meet with a client, Justin, where do you start? Where do you start in saying, a client says, hey, you know what? I'm 40 years old. I'm 50 years old. I know that I got kids and I know that I want to retire someday. And I know that I should have insurance, but I really haven't paid attention to this. Where do you start with somebody as far as their goals, and especially now at the year end?
Yeah, no, great question. You know, first question I always ask is what matters most to them, you know, and so really taking a holistic approach, working closely with clients, managing their financial health, it's important to identify what matters most to them. And so if it's creating a legacy there for their family, making sure that they're able to afford maybe their basic necessities all the way on up to more aspirational desires there. Maybe we're looking at a vacation home, or maybe we're looking at additional travel or purchasing a new car. And so, you know, really identifying what matters most will help begin taking to the next step of identifying their goals and how we can meet their goals in the most efficient manner. And so once we start identifying what matters most and breaking out their goals, we start to identify their goals and break them out into brackets, looking at short-term, mid-term, and long-term goals. And the reason we do so is we want to make sure we have a high accuracy in terms of a client meeting those goals. And so looking at more short-term goals, you know, we're going to be taking less risk in terms of how we're managing investments to what their needs are. For the longer-term goals, we have greater leverage there and greater ability to take a little bit more risk to help them meet those long-term goals, because given market fluctuating there, we have the ability to weather a storm in terms of market volatility there. So we have time on our side. And so breaking out a client's goals will really help us manage their investments to what their needs are. And then once again, identifying what matters most, us looking at a year end and connecting with a client, it's important that we reevaluate our priorities. Maybe something that was important to a client here 1, 2, 5 years ago, maybe is no longer needed. Or at the same time, maybe there is a new goal or, a goal that's important there for them. And so, you know, us connecting with a client to assess their goals, you know, it is something that's going to be ongoing.
And, you know, it's interesting. I was looking on Sequoia's website and something just hit me right between the eyes. Said that 30% of family wealth does not survive the second generation, and 10% doesn't survive the third. In other words, let's say you've got a family and maybe they have a business, maybe they have a bunch of real estate, maybe they have a big stock portfolio or bond portfolio, and they're worth $20 or $30 million or $10 million. And what the article was saying is that 30% of those families will be able to maintain that family wealth. Now, that's a big deal of some of the stuff that we do with our clients, isn't it? How come they can't? What do you see that why they can't?
You know, a lot of it is just looking at the family governance. And so, you know, for clients, determining what's important to them, but at the same time, being able to work closely with that next generation, with their children, and being able to take that multi-generational approach working with a family. And so, you know, working closely with a family unit and creating that multi-generational approach, ultimately, what we're trying to do is reduce the costs, reduce the tax drag over those multi-generations, and at the same time, instill the same discipline that the first generation has learned along the way. And so working closely with the children and eventually the grandchildren in terms of instilling basic, fundamentals there for them so that they can understand the basics, and then all the way up of how we manage the investments to what their needs are.
Okay, now let's talk about investments and investment strategies. Now, folks, we are not giving investment advice on this podcast. That is not what we're doing. But we are now at the end of 2024, and we are going to have a new president, or shall we say an old new president, someone who's been president before and is now going to be president again, Donald Trump. We are going to have a Republican Congress and a Republican House of Representatives. And with that, the day after Donald Trump was elected, the Dow Jones Industrial Average went up over 1,500 points. Now, what does that mean? I don't know, and we're not going to get into that today. But you talked about volatile markets, and we have a new administration, and we have the potential of tariffs, and there's all kinds of stuff. So let's talk about how we would rebalance investment portfolios. Now, you know, how do you do that, and how is this affected by, you know, world events and market events? How do you do that?
Yeah, you know, I think that's what makes me and our team unique here is going back to identifying a client's needs. And so, you know, as a client is accumulating assets and building their portfolio, perhaps they're going to have less demand or need in terms of assets being pulled out of that portfolio to meet their lifestyle needs. But at the same time, for those that are retired, they're going to be drawing on their retirement assets over the course of the retirement years. And so the way we would come in here is identifying what their needs are. And so starting off with determining how much should we have allocated to a client's portfolio in terms of equities, stocks, or fixed income and bonds. Generally speaking, you're going to meet with a wealth advisor and they're going to say, hey, you're entering retirement. Maybe you should be 50-50, 50% stocks, 50% bonds. But I bring a more sophisticated approach there working with clients. I use something called an asset liability matching approach. And so what the asset liability matching or ALM approach does is it determines what your needs are. And so let's say you're drawing on X amount of dollars over the course of a year. That determines what the liquid assets should be available over that course of term should be. And so that helps me determine and distinguish how much risk we can be taking on your overall investment portfolio. So really bringing a grounded approach there in terms of determining how much risk we can be taking. So identifying what a client's risk is, we're looking at two items. We're looking at a client's ability and we're looking at their willingness. Now, willingness is a client's emotional state, emotional biases. Ability is really grounded in basic economic fundamentals. Determining what their lifestyle needs are is the basic in terms of goal there in terms of determining what their needs are. And so once we identify what their needs are, now we can start building a portfolio around what their overall needs are. Once again, highlighting the lifestyle that they're enjoying right now. We want to make sure that a client's going to enjoy a happy, healthy lifestyle that they've been accustomed to. And so it's not up to me as a wealth advisor to tell a client what their lifestyle should be. It's not up to me to say, hey, client, you're taking too many vacations, or hey, client, you're eating, you know, too many steak dinners. What it is up to me is to determine, hey, how are we going to manage this client's overall portfolio to make sure that they're going to be able to enjoy this lifestyle throughout these retirement years? And so once we're able to determine, you know, what their ability is in terms of taking risk, then we start looking at the overall investment portfolio and really trying to diversify the portfolio and diversify the portfolio to manage and mitigate market risk. And so mitigating market risk, you know, ultimately the way you would like to be diversified is you're going to have equities or stocks, and you'll have some in domestic here in the US and some international. And so, you know, once again, as we're building that overall equity portfolio, we're determining where we can add risk and where we're trying to manage risk. And then secondly, looking at fixed income or your bonds. And so that's going to provide liquidity, making sure that we're meeting your short-term to mid-term goals in a very efficient manner. And so once you start looking at your goals and parsing them out within a time frame, your goals that are 10 years and beyond, that's where we're able to take a little bit more risk, looking at having a little bit more stocks, but at the same time, understanding what your needs are for under those 10 years from 0 to 10, that's where we're going to be managing a fixed income portfolio to make sure we're able to meet your needs in the most efficient manner.
So for example, Justin, if we're talking, you know, about 10 years and out, that's more retirement funds. So you're going to be able to potentially invest retirement funds, not as, you know, maybe a little more with a little more risk because I got a longer time frame if I make a mistake. And again, everything I've ever read in 40 years of being in this business is, you know, don't put all your eggs in one basket, be diversified, right? I mean, that's the key. I mean, I've got people who came to me and they had all their money in XYZ Corporation. Oh, well, that's going to be a big winner. Well, that's not the best strategy, is it?
No, it sure isn't. And, you know, it goes back to managing the volatility because, you know, once we start looking at a retiree is going to have to pull out X amount of dollars a month. Let's just say a retiree is pulling out $5,000 a month to meet their retirement needs, their lifestyle needs. And they're in XYZ stock and XYZ stock fell 20%, 30% over that course of time. And now you're left in a position where you're having to pull out assets during a depressed period of time. And so pulling out your assets on a depressed period of time, it's going to hurt you with the hope of the market rebounding. And so let's just hypothetically say the market does rebound. Perhaps you are in a position where you're financially secure before the market downturn, but once you pulled out your assets during that particular low point in the market, now you have less assets to recoup on that upside. And so that's where you really do jeopardize your financial stability there and your financial independence as you've entered into your retirement years. And so that's why, you know, highlighting the importance of being well diversified, wanting to make sure you manage that overall market risk so that if the market does see a downturn and you're drawing on your assets, going back to the fixed income perspective, you'll have less of a negative impact. You want to manage that downside risk there in terms of managing a client's needs along with managing their overall portfolio.
Now, we're at the end of the year, and one of the things that the CPA should be doing, this is what I do with all my clients, is I say, Justin, if you were my client, Dr. Smith's financial advisor, I would say, Dr. Smith, can I get access to your, we call it realized and unrealized gain report? So maybe, Justin, you as the advisor have, you know, said on XYZ company, it's time to take the profits. So you never try and sell at the top or buy at the bottom. That just never works, I don't think. And so you've got, you know, 80,000 in long-term capital gains, but we've got a stock that just was a real dog that's just sitting there. And don't we want to maybe take a look at, do we want to sell that before the end of the year? We may want to hold on to it for the long term. And if we sell a stock that has a loss, Justin, we know there's this thing called the wash sale rules, and it was not created by Maytag. It's a rule that says if I sell a stock that has a loss, I cannot purchase back a stock, that stock for 31 days. And so we can look at those strategies, right? Isn't that one way that you look at the year end?
Absolutely, Art. So, you know, in terms of doing year end analysis there, working closely with the client is, you know, determining how we're going to look at tax loss harvesting or at the same time, tax gain harvesting. We want to be conscientious in terms of harvesting those gains and offsetting that with the losses to minimize that overall tax impact. And at the same time, just as you're saying, looking at the wash sale rules. And so, Art, you'd mentioned, hey, let's say you sell XYZ stock, or even let's say you're looking at a mutual or an exchange traded fund that covers a particular segment, and you don't want to, you're unable to acquire or buy back that within 31 days. But at the same time, the wash sale rules also apply before then. So you have 30 days before, day of, and 30 days after. So you're looking at 61 total days within right. That time frame in terms of, you know, in terms of how those wash sale rules apply. And so really going back to understanding what a client's needs are. And so really, we want to take advantage of perhaps a lower tax bracket year. We want to understand what a client's needs are because we want to be able to harvest some of those gains along the way to make sure we're meeting a client's financial needs, but at the same time, perhaps taking advantage of a particular position that hasn't performed as well during a particular period of time so that we're able to offset those gains with some losses along the way.
Absolutely. So take a second, Justin, and talk a little bit about what you guys do at Sequoia. And if one of our dentists and folks, I say this all the time when I bring guests onto my show, I do this podcast because this is my legacy. This is me giving back to this wonderful profession of dentistry that has allowed me to raise a family and live a life and to help a lot of people. And I'm very proud of the work that I've done. And giving back, this is a great way to give back. And I just really enjoy sharing this information with you. This podcast is a call to action. Okay, in 1 hour or 50 minutes or as long as I talk to Justin here, I'm not going to give you all the financial planning answers. By the way, we are going to do a series. We haven't decided if it's going to be 3 or 4 or 5 podcasts at the beginning of 2025 on the different aspects of financial planning, retirement and insurance and investments and college. And I really, really am excited about doing this for you. But this is a call to action. If you're listening to this, and you've got a really good financial advisor that you meet with on a quarterly basis, and that financial advisor is jumping into your tax situation and working with your CPA and making sure that you have the right insurances. If you've got somebody good, that's wonderful. Maybe we can give you some extra tidbits to share with that financial advisor. But if you just don't know where you're at, you're 40, 45, 50 years old or older, and you just don't know where you're going or what you're doing. You got 3 kids that are teenagers. Trust me, guys, I put 2 kids through private college. I am still crying out of both eyes because I put 2 kids through college. Best money I ever spent, but it was not cheap. If that's the case, this is a call to action to say, let's take a look at it. So, Justin, what would it look like to engage with you and Sequoia? What would be the first step? And then I want you to give out your contact information. And I got a bunch of other things I want to cover with you.
Yeah, you know, once, you know, going back, the first thing that we look at in terms of sitting down with a client or a prospect is, once again, just identifying what matters most to them, what matters the most, you know, to them in terms of, you know, looking at their financial goals. And so once we start understanding what's important to a particular client, we're able to start taking the next steps of identifying and looking at their investments and begin building their financial plan. You know, at the end of the day, every client having a financial plan will give direction in terms of us, of how we're looking to manage their overall investments. And so, you know, as we build the financial plan, really, we're looking at a multi-layer approach. You know, I'm your financial architect coming in and building a plan. And at the same time, I'm evaluating the risks along the way and looking to mitigate the risks that are specific to each one of the clients. Are we looking to manage the tax brackets? Are clients looking to be in a higher tax bracket at different points of their life cycle? The same time, unbeknownst to many clients, they think, hey, Justin, I'm retiring here. I'm going to be in a lower tax bracket. Well, unbeknownst to them, at age 73, we have required minimum distributions. And so in the account that you've been saving up for your whole life and for retirement, at the point of time when it's the highest value it has ever been, the IRS comes in and gives you a predetermined formula and says, hey, you need to start withdrawing this amount of money each year for required minimum distributions. And so for some clients, they could very well be seeing themselves jump into higher tax brackets in their later stages of retirement. And so once again, going back to the overall plan there for the client, understanding and anticipating these particular client needs, and at the same time, understanding how they're projecting out in terms of their cash flow and tax brackets will allow us to lower their overall average tax bracket and looking at the strategy of minimizing lifetime taxes, maximizing lifetime wealth.
All right. So if someone wanted to engage with you, what is your phone number and what is your email address? And what would be the first step? And then we'll move on to some other stuff.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So my phone number is 925-480-4015. And my email address is jpatelero@sequoia-financial.com. And that's J-P-A-T-E LLARO at SEQUOIA-financial.com.
So you're not only good with numbers, you're good with letters too. That's great. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah. And, you know, anyone who's interested, you know, really what it starts off with is just a conversation. So giving me a call, let's get an opportunity for us to have a discussion there, determining what's important to you, what are some of your goals there. And then once we start to have that initial discussion there, we're able to start diving deeper, gathering information. And so once we decide to take those next steps, really looking at a full financial audit, wanting to gather all of your financial statements, whether we're looking at mortgage statements, investment statements, maybe you have insurance, life insurance,
long-term care.
But putting together a financial plan really takes into consideration all these multiple variables so that I'm able to come in and determine, you know, where's the risk specific to you and how we should be looking to mitigate these particular items.
Yeah. In financial planning, Justin, I've always looked at it. There's like seven major areas of financial planning. There's cash flow and budgeting. Cash flow and budgeting, we look at how much credit card debt do you have? I mean, credit card debt, my body starts shaking. It's just horrible. I looked at the average credit card rate yesterday. It's like 21 and almost 22%. We look at taxes as 2, insurance is 3, investments are 4, retirement is 5, college planning is 6, and estate planning is 7. And we touch on all of those. So let's just touch on some of these at year end at what we need to be looking at. So insurance, I mean, you know, there's life insurance, disability, long-term care. What should somebody here at the end of the year, what should we be thinking about? Maybe a goal for 2025 that we're going to get resolved. Maybe one of your shorter long-term goals. What should we be looking at on the insurance side?
Yeah, you know, on the most basic level, is just making sure you have adequate insurance. You know, maybe we're looking at anywhere from your life insurance, determining should we be looking to cover for any disruptions there, or at the same time, we're looking at making sure that you're properly covered there for your home, and looking at liability coverage. And so, you know, looking at insurance, you know, some folks just think, hey, I just want to make sure I'm properly covered for life or long-term care. At the same time, you know, living here in California, I tell you what, wildfire risk is absolutely a concern. And there's folks out there that I'm sure that have seen their policy premiums jump significantly. But at the same time, you know, I've had conversations with folks who are underinsured on their homes. They're taking a position where, hey, I'm going to try to save as much as I can on my yearly premium. But at the same time, they're leaving themselves exposed there. And so, you know, God forbid, we have an act of nature there and fire does ravage their home. You know, you want to make sure, hey, you weren't cost cutting there. You weren't trying to, cut a corner there to save an extra dollar to, cost yourself further down the line. Yeah. And so, you know, in terms of insurance coverage, really just having overall basic review. And then secondly, just reviewing your beneficiary designations, you know, making sure that your primary beneficiary, which is like should be your spouse or likely your spouse, and your contingent beneficiary, which could be your children, are properly identified on your policies for beneficiary information. And so those are more the basics there in terms of looking at year-end insurance review.
Now, I know, Justin, that if I took a poll of all of my clients, I would guess that 50 to 70% of them have 0 estate documents. And I've gone through this process many years ago with my wife. I am very proud to say, and you've met my wife, we will celebrate our 40th wedding anniversary on May 11th of next year. So I think that the marriage has a chance of making it to the finish line. So we just finished redoing our wills and trusts, and there's difficult, I don't care if you're a financial advisor or not, there's difficult questions you have. So talk about how important it is to have estate documents and what you do, you know, just quickly with clients on that.
Yeah, you know, in particular, looking here in the state of California, you want to have a living trust set up there for you and your family. You know, I've come across clients here frequently that say, Justin, you know what? I have a will set up. I think I'm a good position. And a will doesn't protect you from probate. You want to avoid probate here in the state of California. And so what probate is what happens if you die without a living trust. You go to probate. And so you have the state of California. They appoint a probate attorney there, and they determine to administer your will in terms of how they see fit. And so making sure that a client's wishes are fully followed through, having a living trust in order will avoid that probate and make sure your wishes are followed through. Because going back to the state of California could charge as much as 10% of your overall estate and have that as probate charges or probate fees. And at the same time, I've worked with clients where they've been stuck in probate for 3 to 4 years. And so trying to sell a house that their parents had owned, having to be locked up in probate, that's a lot of time to have assets locked up in probate, given market volatility, market fluctuation. And so you really do want to make sure your estate documents are in order. And so talking about the living trust, your will, but you also want to have a financial power of attorney and an advanced medical directive. You want to make sure that someone is identified to act on your financial needs should you be unable to do so. At the same time, someone act for your medical needs should you be unable to do so. And I always talk to clients and I always say, hey, identify one person rather than having a co-pair of individuals to act for your needs. Some clients want to have their son or their children together, son and daughter, two children to be identified as their financial power of attorney. And what the risk is at that point in time when a decision needs to be made, you have two siblings that are squabbling over what they feel is best for that particular individual. And so having them listed in a hierarchy is very important, in my opinion, in terms of building your estate documents and having those identified.
At the end of the day, folks, while I would not be qualified to do a crown prep or a bridge or sleep apnea dentistry, you do what you do, we do what we do. So we would recommend very strongly if you do not have any estate documents, which I suspect will be many of you listening to this podcast, give one of us a call, and we will be happy to refer you to a competent estate planning attorney. Let's touch on one more subject. Now, you and I have talked about on our own, and you mentioned earlier, we are neither judge nor jury. We do not get in your face and say, oh, well, you're spending too much money and you're doing too much on this and you've got too much. We're gonna tell you if you want to get to goal A, B, C, and D, you need to do this. And so talk a little bit about how you counsel clients on budgeting to track, tracking their income and expenses. And I mean, it like I say, my life is a math problem. That's on my one sheet. If anybody wants me as a speaker for a dental society, you'll see it on top of there. My life is a math problem. This is all a math problem. If you don't have enough money at the end of the day, after you pay your taxes and your bills to save for all these things we want to do, Justin, I can't help you, right? So talk a little bit about budgeting.
Yeah, no, and so that is the most fundamental step in terms of working with a client and beginning with financial planning is understanding what a client's budget is. And so a majority of folks that are out there likely don't maintain a monthly budget or a yearly budget. But really what it comes down to is creating a budget. You want to outline what your income is for the year, and then you want to outline what your expenses are for the year. And ultimately, when you're in the accumulation stage of your life cycle, you want to make sure that your income is greater than what your lifestyle and your expenses are. But at the same time, as we're entering here in financial independence or retirement, we want to make sure we understand what our lifestyle needs are. And so going through just the habit and practice of line item by line item and outlining what your lifestyle expenses are, starting anywhere from what your utilities are to what your food is, what your clothing needs are, utilities. And then, maybe your more aspirational desires are of traveling and gifting for family. And so really wanting to go through that exercise of outlining every one of your needs there so you could understand what your true lifestyle is on a monthly and annual basis. And so once you understand what that budget is, whether you're young or old, it's important because it is that foundation and that fundamental approach there to determine, hey, now we have that baseline of what your needs are. How do we take this next step? And this next step really is looking at building your wealth and how we're going to manage your wealth to what your needs are.
So the most important question that comes out of what you just said is, what percentage of my income should go to golf green fees? is there a benchmark for that? And if there isn't, we should make one.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, there's no benchmark for something like that.
Oh, but,
you
know, man, come on.
But, you know, going back to it, you know, it's identifying what's important. And so, you know, it's funny, you know, meeting folks that are looking to approach retirement years there, and whether it's, you know, looking at your green fees or fly fishing and, you know, the travel that goes into something like that, you know, making sure that, hey, as we hit this financial independence, you're able to enjoy what your time and what you do and your hobbies and your lifestyle there. And so, you know, it's important to, you know, identify all these particular items, in particular as you're approaching these retirement years. And it's been difficult here over the last 2, 3, 4 years because we've been in this inflationary environment. And so we do see that maybe our more discretionary spending items are getting gobbled up by our more basic need items. And so, you know, food and gas seem to continue to rise in price, thank goodness, at a lower rate right now. But nonetheless, you know, these are items here going back to monitoring and building out a budget there for a client, in particular in the retirement years, is very important. And reviewing that on an annual basis is equally important because, you know, if you find yourself, hey, you know, I spend $60,000 a year here in retirement, and all of a sudden you start tracking your expenses and you're spending $80,000 or $90,000 a year in budget, you could go from financial independence to the risk of retirement shortfall very quickly. And these are conversations that I have, you know, frequently here with clients, monitoring their spending habits and determining, hey, you know what, if you continue spending the way you're spending right now, rather than being financially independent until the goal age of 95, you're at risk of running out of funds in your 80s or early 80s or late 70s. And once again, working closely with a wealth advisor, monitoring your spending habits and your wealth, we could come back to our clients there and provide them that prompt feedback and say, hey, you know what, maybe we should be looking at, you know, if you're not looking at curtailing some of your spending here, are you prepared to sell your home and downsize? You know, should you be finding yourself running out of funds? And so that's us as the wealth advisor coming in and advising our clients and coaching and counseling them along the way to make sure that we're monitoring these habits as we go through these stages.
So one more thing, and as much as I'd love to talk to you for days about this because I really enjoy it, one more thing, charitable giving. I know that you know, dentists are some of the most, and the reason I've enjoyed my career in the dental profession as an advisor is that as a group, dentists are some of the most warm, caring human beings I've ever met. I've had the opportunity here in Orange County to refer some friends and colleagues to dentists. And boy, when I refer patients to dentists here in Orange County, I'm telling you, you guys are just the most compassionate human beings. So charitable giving, I have found, is a large part of a lot of our clients. Folks, here's a, you know, I want to talk for a second about tax benefits. Here's an example. We had a client, this was probably, 3 or 4 years ago. It was right, I think it was after the pandemic had gotten going. And he says to me, well, Art, I got a $50,000 donation. I'm going to make $10,000 a year for 5 years. Our school is expanding our stadium, and I'm going to make a $50,000 donation. And I was going to do $10,000 a year. And I said, nope, you're not. And he says, what do you mean, nope, I'm not? I said, you can do it all today. I said, why is that? I said, well, here's why. The standard deduction back then was about $25,000, and that's the deduction that changed with the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act of 2017. So now we're limited to $10,000. I said to this doctor, we're limited to $10,000 in state income taxes and real estate taxes. I don't care how much your state income taxes are in California, real estate taxes, it's $10,000. You give maybe $5,000 a year to charity. That's what you give. And I never, Justin, we never make, you know, judge or jury. So that's $15,000. Your house is free and clear, so there's no home mortgage interest. And all your money is invested in retirement, so there's no investment interest or anything like investment income to cover investment interest. So the bottom line is, if you put $10,000, you have $15,000 deductions, $5,000 for your donations, $10,000 for state taxes, no home mortgage interest. If you put that $10,000 in, you're going to come right up to $25,000 standard deduction. You get that regardless if you make the donation or not. You get zero benefit. What you're going to do, doctor, is you're going to put the $50,000 in this year. And we even talked about him taking a Roth IRA distribution or just taking money out, more money out of his retirement plan or something like that. And that's how we benefit. So, Justin, that's the type of planning you do. And I know that you and I have done this on some clients, but talk about the importance of charitable giving as part of someone's financial plan and kind of playing with the tax angle of it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, you know, working with closely with a client, making sure that we're meeting their charitable desires. And, you know, first thing I always tell a client, because they say, hey, Justin, should I be making a charitable contribution this year? You know, I always come back to the clients and say, hey, is this something you're passionate about? And so I always caution and say, you know, you shouldn't approach the charitable cause to try to save taxes. It should be something that you're passionate about. Now we're looking at, you know, determining what giving strategies we should be looking at. And so for clients that are at required minimum distribution age or RMD age, we could start looking at qualified charitable distributions or QCDs. And so what the IRS allows is once you hit the age 73 is you can make these qualified charitable distributions out of your IRA. Now, something unique about this is the QCDs must be taken out of your IRA before any other distributions from your IRA account. And for each taxpayer, yeah, you're capped at $100,000 a year. And so you can actually contribute up to $100,000 out of your IRA. But the funds need to be distributed from your IRA account over to the charitable cause that you wish. And so working closely with clients, unfortunately, many, you know, there's clients out there, many of us don't know the logistics that go behind it. But taking advantage of the qualified charitable distributions, that is not an itemized deduction. And so that actually is offset. And so it's not considered income for that particular distribution. And so that's the benefit there is you're not having to worry about the itemized part in terms of filing your tax return. The second thing here is, you know, looking at donor advised funds. And so what a donor advised funds is it allows a client to make a direct contribution to a fund in particular that's earmarked for what your wishes are, you know, your donor advised. And so making contributions to a donor advised fund, once you make that contribution to the donor advised fund, now it's in that fund. And so perhaps you don't know exactly what you want to make a contribution to, but you want to take advantage of a situation where you're at for the current year. And so making that distribution to the donor advised fund will give you that leeway. And so having the funds in that fund for something at a later point in time will give you that additional flexibility.
Well, I'll tell you what, I mean, and I love working with clients on charitable giving because, you know, you just see the glow in their eyes about when they go to help other people. Because, you know, you and I and all of our dentists listening to this podcast have been very blessed in our lifetimes that we all worked very hard to get here, but we're blessed in helping others. I'm excited about the charitable work that I do and giving money to charities is part of what we do at the end of the year. Justin Padalero of Sequoia Financial Group, I want to thank you for your time, your expertise. I'm not done with you, buddy. We're going to be doing a series here in January and February, and we're going to jump onto some of these topics and really do a deep dive into this because I really want to teach my audience about this. So real quick, one more time, and please stay with me while I take the podcast out. Your phone number and email address, if you are interested in just having a conversation about where you are in your life and what you're looking for, Justin is a very patient human being. I know him well, and he'll listen to you and see if we can help you. Justin, phone number and email address.
Yeah, phone number 925-480-4015. And my email address is jpatellaro@sequoia-financial.com. That's jpatellaro at Sequoia, sequoia-financial.com.
Okay, Justin, thank you so much for your time and your expertise. I learn every time I have a conversation with you, I learn stuff. There's a lot of really cool financial planning things that we do for our clients, and I'm excited to continue to work with you. And folks, I want to again thank you for listening to this podcast. We have thousands of people that listen, and I get emails and calls, and people come to me at the dental convention, and they say hi and they thank me, and it's really appreciated, and it's my way to give back to you. Please go to our wonderful marketing partner's website, Decisions in Dentistry Magazine, www.decisionsindentistry.com. 140 continuing education classes at a really, really wonderful low price. We like low prices. That's www.decisionsindentistry.com. If you are looking for a dental-specific CPA who can explain to you why only having 5% of your production in the 4,000 codes as part of your hygiene program is not a good thing, and why it's costing you money, and how to read your management reports, give us a call. My office number is 657-279-3243. My email address is awiederman, that's AWIEDERMAN at idbailey.com. We're also a member of the Academy of Dental CPAs, 25 CPA firms that represent over 10, 11, 12,000, I don't know how many dentists. www.adcpa.org. And with that, Justin, thanks again. Please again, hang with me before, as I take the podcast out. And folks, thank you so much. That is it for this edition of the Art of Dental Finance and Management podcast with Art Wiederman, CPA. And we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Art of Dental Finance and Management podcast. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so you never miss an episode. The Art of Dental Finance and Management podcast is produced by Ide Bailey in partnership with Art Wiederman, CPA, Decisions in Dentistry Magazine, and the Academy of Dental CPAs. For audience questions and feedback, email Art Wiederman, awiederman@idebailey.com. That's AWIEDERMAN at EIDEBAILLY.com. Or you may call Art at 657-279-3243.